how spoiled we used to be as Miami Hurricanes fans. You remember 3 national championships in 5 years, 2 national titles in 3 years? Let's talk to one of the greatest linebackers to ever put on the orange and green.
You are Locked On Canes, your daily podcast on the Miami Hurricanes, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Alex Dono, your host, University of Miami alumnus, longtime South Florida sports radio vet, and contributor to allhurricanes.com. And thank you so much to the Everydayers for making Locked On Canes your first listen each and every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege. And when you enter promo code Locked On College, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. It is a Truth Teller Tuesday on a Thursday. Our pal Bruce Warner is with us. Bruce, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. At least you don't have that cold anymore. It doesn't sound like it.
Fine. It was like a month-long thing. I'm finally better.
Awesome.
And we brought a friend with us on today, didn't we, Bruce?
Yeah, well, I keep telling you guys and all our listeners that I'm going to get former players on. So today we bring in one of the greatest. I believe he was like the highest rated high school player coming out of high school. And so we're going to talk about linebackers today. So I figured let's just call up the New York Giants and get Jesse Armstead with us. So
Jesse Armstead is with us. UM Sports Hall of Famer, 2-time national champion at Miami, 89 and 1991. Longtime NFL linebacker, 4-time Pro Bowler, former New York Giant. Jesse, welcome to the show. Thank you so much, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing so well and so happy to have you on. And I want to start here, Jesse, before we talk about your awesome Miami and NFL career. You were a teammate with the man who's now the captain of the ship, Mario Cristobal. What was Mario like as a teammate? And do you think he's the right guy to get this turned around?
Well, first of all, Mario was a fiery, real tough competitor that always competed on the field. And, you know, to get that ship turned around, it's going to take some time. And I know one thing about it, Mario history of the coaching segment, he know what it take. And he'd been through the right programs, starting at UM, and then also had a stint, at, you know, with Bama and then Oregon, different places he's been. So he understand what it take for us playing and coaching wise.
Yeah. Now, Jess, you came in here and you were recruited by Jimmy, and then he left, and then Dennis comes in the door. So I know Alex brought this up before. Did you have any thoughts about not coming to Miami and going someplace else?
No, you know what? I was coming there for the culture of that team. I came off at Carter High School with a tough environment, a competitive football team. And when I went to University of Miami, that's the only reason I went to University of Miami. I didn't go there for no national championship and things like that. I went there to go with a group of guys that's going to go out there and compete on the football field. So that was my main purpose, to go there and play with some guys at a high level. And if you're playing on that kind of team, you're on automatic on win because you got a lot of great players on that team and with you.
You know, how hard is it, Jesse? And I know that obviously Mario felt the same way. It's why he wanted to come back to Miami and take over as head coach. But in recent years, when the team's been down and when the team's been frustrated, for a guy like yourself who knew nothing but winning during your 4 years at the U and you won 2 national titles, how hard is it to watch the team when they're struggling?
It's hard, you know, but you got to understand, sometimes it's bigger than what the picture show. The university had to make us a decision. Did they want to win, you know? So as part of, you know, getting coaches in there, and also the university. Maybe the university want to just be a university that don't compete and get into a bowl game, and the students just happy with that. But as a former player, and, you know, we want to compete for national championships.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because – you guys, and I was down there because I know all your teammates. I watched some of your practices, and you guys beat the hell out of each other. And I know it because I saw it. And then I remember once, I discussed it with Lamar and Stephen McGuire, that one of the years, I think it was the first year that Dennis was there, I'm not even sure the offense scored a touchdown in the fall practice. And then you went up, I think you went up to Wisconsin and beat him like 51-3. So, you know, but look who you had. You had Darren and you had Michael. And look who you had in front of you. You had Cortez. You had Russell. I mean, my goodness. Didn't it make your job that much easier to have those guys in front of you?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you got that much talent around you, you can't help but shine, you know. But we had guys that loved to compete from offense, defense, and guys that played on special teams. So that culture, that's the main thing that was around the University of Miami.
Right, and you guys also did not have these star ratings. You didn't have all these kids making these announcements on national TV, where they're going with the hats. It was strictly you guys against everybody else, because I know it was you against the world. And you took it upon yourselves on the field and in the locker room to make sure that nobody slipped, nobody screwed around in practice. It was dead serious, and that made the games easier, right?
Well, absolutely. We went out there and we competed at practice just as hard as the football game. So when you walked in that football game, believe me, it was a lot easier than that practice.
And on that note, Jesse, the way that you guys practiced at Green Tree, and Bruce mentioned it. I mean, you got to share a linebacking core with guys like Michael Barrow and Darren Smith. When you got to the NFL, when you got to the New York Giants, did you feel like it was maybe the learning curve was easier for you than it was for most rookies? Because you were basically playing, you know, an NFL-style intensity when you were in college.
Absolutely. It was easy for me personally because you know, when they rotate linebackers in, and I never would rotate it. I was used to covering the slot. I'm used to going out on the wide receiver. I'm used to going on the back when you go in motion. So when I got to the NFL, it was just a common theme for me. When they would see a linebacker out there covering the slot, people look at my first 3 years in the league, I was basically a nickel and a dime linebacker in the NFL.
Right. That was an offshoot of when they played Houston. They played the base defense. And Houston had that run and shoot or whatever the hell they had. And they, yeah. It was Jesse and those guys were covering the receivers, and they were smashing the hell out of them. That was a great game for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. We had the guys up, you know, big guys up front, putting that pressure on them, but the linebackers never had to rotate out of the game because we could run with our wide receivers also.
Right. That's a big difference. And now, you know, we're talking about linebackers. So I'll bring this up because I just mentioned it before with having Tez and Russell in there. There's some concern right now, and I don't know if you know personnel, so I'm not going to make it a personal thing, but there's some concern about the D tackles at Miami. I mean, Leonard Taylor, but he hasn't really done that much. So if you're a linebacker at Miami now, you have to rely on what's in front of you. So how important is it to have those guys up front getting the penetration and being able to free up the linebackers to make plays?
Well, you know, you always got to have them big boys up front, you know, and you got to find a way to motivate them, find a way to push them. And also coaches sometimes got to scheme it for you, you know, but if they don't step up, then the linebacker better step up bigger. You know what I mean? So hopefully those new guys will step up and make themselves known and get a name for themselves.
But if you can't do that, if you guys are getting hit by offensive linemen who are coming out, that makes it – that's why we've seen – I'm guessing – and we've seen a lot of safeties and corners making tackles the last 7 or 8, 10 years because it's not because the linebackers aren't necessarily doing their jobs, because they're getting hats on them.
Well, you know, you don't want that lineman sitting in your chest before you get an opportunity, and you don't want your DBs making more tackles than your linebackers. So – they got to be correct up front, but it's hard to find those big guys in today's game. It's hard to find guys up front, hard to find offensive linemen too. So I'm quite sure the University of Miami, I'm quite sure Mario, that's something high on our list, and hopefully they'll be able to pull a rabbit out the hat.
Yeah, it is high on their list. Last year they got the O-line. Yeah. And Alex knows this year they're really going for those D tackles and the D linemen.
Yeah, and it helps Jesse to have a guy like Jason Taylor now on the staff as a co-D line coach. Basically Miami is like on the top five list for all of the top defensive linemen in the country for the upcoming recruiting class. So they are definitely trying to fill it up and load it up with big time talent for next year.
Oh, absolutely. Jason, one of the best guys that you can get for that kind of job. And you look at him, he's going to bring a lot of attention to the University of Miami. And for as a defensive lineman, you should want to go there for the history of the University of Miami. And also because you have a pro style, a pro coach coaching.
We have the pleasure of being joined here by Miami Hurricanes and New York Giants legend, all-time great linebacker Jesse Armstead. And we're only getting started because we got to ask Jesse about his playing days, what it was like beating Florida State, what some of his favorite moments were at Miami. You want to keep it locked right here to Locked On Canes. And folks, we are proudly brought to you by Bird Dogs. I've got my Bird Dog shorts on today, and I've told you guys, this feels like summer when I'm wearing these shorts, and they're perfect for South Florida. Bird Dog stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and the leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but they fit way better. They fit way better than regular shorts that are made of that stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs fix that issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but it stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. And for the South Floridians out there, you know how important that is. So go to birddogs.com/lockedoncollege and enter promo code Locked On College for a free Yeti style tumbler. I love this thing that comes with your order. That's birddogs.com/lockedoncollege for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you. Thank you so much for making Locked On Canes your first listen today. We are available free wherever you get your podcasts and available free on YouTube. And for the everydayers, on Friday's episode, we are going to be deep diving on all of the official visitors coming in on the weekend of June 9th. It's going to be loaded in recruiting at the U. But right now, we are joined by a Canes great. Jesse Armstead is with us. So, Jesse, you know, anytime I tell our listeners that we've got a former Canes great like yourself coming on, they always want to know, what was your favorite win or favorite game that you played in while at Miami?
Well, you know, it's probably a couple of games.
A couple really. Is fine. We love the memories.
Yeah, but I just look at any time I walked on that football field, you know, no matter who it was. I just love playing with the Canes and love going out there and being the bad guys, the villains. And we went out there and we proved everybody wrong, you know, us against the world mentality. And if you wasn't a Cane, you didn't understand our mentality.
Yeah, I said to Alex yesterday, one of my favorite memories of you, and I don't know how great it is now because you can't do it anymore, I don't think. Didn't you make that chop to the groin? Because I remember you. What game was that? What game was that where you did that chop?
Well, yeah, it started in Cal game, you know.
Right.
We had, you think about it, that was, we were having to, like, I think we lost to BYU, I'm not for sure, at the beginning of the season or something. And maybe that wasn't it. And we got a lot of phone calls from former players told them, just be old Canes. And we just went out there and just say, hey, man, take the hats off and be ourselves. And from that point on, you know, we just always been ourselves, you know, and if you like us, you like us. If you don't, you know, so what, you know?
and is that why Miami had, and still to this day, a lot of the younger fans maybe don't understand this because they didn't, you know, the people in their teens and their 20s that didn't live through those days, the 80s and the 90s. And I think if people watched the U documentary, which Jesse was a part of, by the way, you would probably understand that era a little bit better if you didn't live through it. But That anti-Miami bias, Jesse, that us against the world, sometimes when we talk about that, people who don't understand the history of Miami just think I've got my tinfoil hat on and I'm being paranoid. But that was such a real thing in the 80s and 90s. And what was it? Was it the swagger? Was it the fact that you guys just didn't care what other people thought about you when you expressed yourselves? Because that was just not a common thing outside of Miami in those days.
Yeah, it was the thing that, you know, we expressed ourselves. We just made a statement, and we wasn't on pull back on a statement. We weren't wearing a suit and go on stage up there and have to feel like we had someone up there speak for us. We had everybody go up there and speak. If you don't speak right, just speak your own language. You know what I mean? And we just be yourself. And not to disrespect people, but hey, if you like us, you like us. If you don't, you don't.
I'm not sure if what he just said is true when it pertains to that Cotton Bowl game, because that was different. That was, I think that was more personal against Texas because they opened their mouths all week, you know, and I was, Caesar was calling me every day saying, Bruce, I want you to sell your house, sell your kids, sell your wife. We're going to beat the crap out of these guys. And he was right. That was a wild, I was, you know, you should have beaten them by 75 points, not whatever the score wound up being. But you guys were, that was personal, wasn't it?
Well, you know, that became personal. A few guys on a Texas team that was saying that, you know, Malott is a sheriff or whatever, that he won't be the sheriff and they won't do this to the University of Miami. They didn't feel like our players were, you know, we're a lot of talk. And, hey, you know what? You know, we do a lot of talking, but we back up our talk. And like you were saying earlier, if the young players or people who coming up in the game, the world today, don't know, one thing they know how to do, they know how to work social media. So take out time and go back and look at it. That's all you have to do. Buy your telephone and just click on it. And you'll be able to see the 30 for 30. You'll be able to research the history. And you'll be able to see it. You know what I mean? It's live footage. And people talking, too.
Jesse Armstead is with us, former great Miami Hurricanes linebacker and great New York Giants linebacker. You know, something, Jesse, when you were, you know, making the transition from Miami to the pros, I feel like your situation in the NFL draft, it would not happen today, because I just feel like medical technology now and the resources that NFL staffs have, because your story was, so when you were at Miami, you blew out your knee in your second season, your sophomore season, but you came back fine after that knee injury and had two tremendous seasons after that. You won another national championship after that. The fact that your draft stock, because of an injury that you suffered, what, 2-3 years before the draft, cost you several rounds and you were drafted in the eighth round, like, to me, it's unfathomable. And I thought and obviously it worked out because the Giants drafted you. You had a great career, so it all worked out in the end. But I thought the fact that your draft stock dropped so much from an injury that you had come back from strong for a couple of years, I thought that was crazy. How difficult was it to go through that, knowing that, you know, your draft stock was in jeopardy because of an injury that in your mind was probably way in the rearview mirror?
Yeah, you know, I didn't play this game for money. I played for respect. You know, if you go back to always to high school, I played for respect. When I got to the pros in college, it was for respect. You know, money came along with it later. But you know, it dropped me down low when I blew my knee. I had total reconstructed. But, you know, you look at it, you know, it's just like a wrecked car, you know. Do you want to buy a wrecked car? Do you want to buy a new car? Until you see that wrecked car perform better than a new car, then you realize it. And I've seen a lot of guys come to New York Giants when I was here. They was bringing in. And I was just steady knocking them off the totem pole. And I became the man around here.
Well, I'm glad of that because, like I said, I'm a Giants fan. Grew up in Newark, and I became a Giants fan when I was a little boy, and I still am. So I'm proud of you and your accomplishments. And so now that you're this far along in your career and you're with the Giants, what are you doing with the Giants now?
I'm special assistant to general manager. So my main thing is, you know, to be able to look at players, evaluate players, be able to be with our players and be a mentor to them also at the same time. So I work in all facets of the organization and help out wherever I need to be helped.
That's awesome. And for someone like yourself who, you know, you've devoted your entire life to this game, like, could you imagine yourself doing anything else for a living? I mean, the fact that you get to still be in football and have an important job like that, are you just living the dream every day, Jesse?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You're living a dream because it's something you love to do, something you don't have to think about. It's something you were born to do. I always told people I was born to play football. It's the first time that I played football. 2 years later, I'm the number one player in the nation. So it was something I was born to do. I always played linebacker, never played no other position. So I've been fortunate and been blessed. And if anybody can have a whole career like I have, I hope they do.
You know, it's funny because he talks about the competition at Miami. He went to Carter. That's a hell of a program back then. I mean, they are, I don't know if they still are, but they were like Miami back then. They were like the villains and they were the bad guys. But, you know, so he grew up in an environment where the competition just was always around him. And so it must have made him a better player, a mentally strong player, which you needed to have if you're playing for Jimmy. I don't know so much about Dennis, but Jimmy was like the master manipulator. And so, and that's why these guys maintain that level of excellence, you know. What do you think about that, Jess?
Yes, I came from Carter High School where Freddie James, nationally known high school coach, one of the toughest coaches you want to deal with. And we had a lot of talent on the teams. And, you know, look at our senior year, 22 seniors, 21 get scholarships. Only one didn't get scholarship, the one that quit, you know. So we had a team, and we had the mentality, us against the world. We got a 30 for 30. People can see that. And then after that and went to University of Miami with the same kind of attitude. That's why I went to the University of Miami. And you can say Jimmy Johnson also. But I had a Jimmy Johnson and Freddie James. So I was used to hard coaching, and I was used to being around the talent. And I wanted to embrace that talent because the only thing that talent could do is make me better when I compete against other football teams.
And you, of course, from that program, you came out of the state of Texas. And I know, you know, a lot of Miami fans, they talk about got to get every South Florida kid, got to load up the roster. I mean, people forget some of the best players in Miami history came from places like Texas, Pennsylvania, California, you know, Miami, Louisiana is where Ed Reed came from. Like Miami has been, you know, the national recruiting for longer than people realize. How did you, and obviously you were one of the top players in the country, but how did you get connected with Jimmy, and what were your feelings about Miami before Jimmy started recruiting you?
Well, I saw that, you know, Jimmy Johnson, you know, I knew of Jimmy, I knew of the University of Miami, but I just wanted to go to a college, you know, that had the guys that I was kind of used to being in the same kind of locker room. Education won't come no matter what school you went to. Education is basically overrated when it comes down to school. I'm going to also to get my education, but no matter where you go, you got to stay eligible back in our day. And so it's just University of Miami, met Jimmy the first time, and he had the same attitude. And he told me one thing, just like my high school coach, I will give you the opportunity to compete as a freshman for the starting job. And he gave me opportunity to compete, and then gave me opportunity to wind up, you know, playing at the University of Miami.
Did you start as a freshman?
No, I played in every game. I rotated with Randy Shannon.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's a good combo there, you and Randy. Wow.
Didn't they just come off the national title and then Jimmy left, right?
You know, they just played it. They had that last the game and they lost the national championship right before that. Oh, and that's why they were saying, I didn't know why they were saying that. They were saying, Notre Dame, no matter what you do, whoop Notre Dame. And so, hey, we went out there and we whooped Notre Dame like 50-7 or something like that.
Beautiful. Oh, man. And Jesse, I wanted to ask you that this may seem a little bit off the beaten path, but you know, people are always so curious about this guy because your time at Miami did intersect with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. What was he like as a teammate?
You know what? You could tell the difference in The Rock when he walked around then. You know, he was tall, you know, big kid. He wound up playing a little. I think he played right behind Sapp. But, you know, hey, who can you blame? And nobody now started in front of Warren Sapp. And he went on with a great career. And, hey, man, he's doing it. I mean, one of the biggest actors in Hollywood.
Yeah, and as we had Caesar on, because you know, he said you guys called him Dewey, and then he had a big mouth, but then one time in practice, Leon flattened his ass, and after that, he got real quiet.
Yeah, so the first time I realized what he was doing is that we were playing the Chicago Bears, and I can't remember what year that was. I mean, like 98, I can't remember, but they had a big line. I'm like, we got into the hotel, the team checked in, and I looked in the line over there, and he was signing some autographs. And I went over there, I'm like, man, let's do it. What you doing, man? He was like, hey, The Rock. And we talked later on, and I realized what it was then. And hey, he blew up real big, and I looked around like a couple of months later, he had a billboard in New York City. I'm like, yeah, He's right.
That's funny. So at that time, you know, you were so involved in football, you didn't, because like, is it that was a huge time for pro wrestling. I was a fan of it back then. I couldn't care less about it now, but I was a pro wrestling fan back then, and he had quickly become the biggest thing since Hulk Hogan at that time. But you had no idea of that.
Yeah, no, nah, he hit real fast, because as soon as I saw him in Chicago, like 3 months later, it was a billboard in New York City. I'm like, whoa, you know what I mean? He started moving fast, you know, move fast. Oh, it make you proud when you see a hurricane out there doing something, you know?
Yeah, well, he's way at the top. I think he's the number one box office attraction in the the world, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if he keeps in touch with too many of you guys, because he's way in another stratosphere. But so now you're with the Giants, and we have a few minutes left. So I don't let this team think they could rest on their laurels of making the playoffs last year. I want you to make sure that Daboll and whoever else is on that staff get these guys to at least 10, 11, 12 wins this year.
Yeah, one thing about it, you know, with the staff we have with the Giants right now, we don't pull everything out of the guys that we have on the football field. Great atmosphere. This team want to play together. They hang together. So it's going to be a mixture, and we'll compete out there. We'll be a team that people realize that one thing about it, when you come to that game, you'll see some guys don't compete to the top, to the bottom.
Good. And I think you're coming to Miami this year.
Yes, we'll be in Miami.
All right. I'll get in touch with you before. If you're going to the game, I'll see you.
I'll be there. All right.
Jesse Armstead, thank you so much for taking the time. Make sure you support this man, UM Sports Hall of Famer, New York Giants great as well. Jesse, thank you so much, and best of luck. You know, since I am a Dolphins fan, but at least you guys are over in the NFC, so I can still wish you. If you were with the Jets, I would not be able to wish you success. But with the Giants, I can say I will be rooting for you to help them reach the pinnacle of success. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much. Y'all have a great day.
You too, Jesse. Hey, thanks a lot. You're great.
All right.
Coming on the show.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next time on another episode of Locked On Canes, part of the awesome Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.